Hey, New City Church. How's everybody doing today? Can y'all see me good and hear me well? Awesome. Okay, so you guys know me. I am a very interactive person. This is really, really awkward for me right now. Because when I'm the only one in the screen, the only one talking, I feel very like self-conscious, right? And so I need your help, okay? And so I need you to help me out here and be part of this worship. If you can turn on your camera, that'd be amazing. I'll be watching you guys throughout the sermon, and it gives me a lot of like just courage to continue to preach. But before we start, you know, you guys know that I was the children's pastor, replaced by an even greater pastor, Pastor Michelle. I'm so glad she's our children's pastor. But I can't help it, right? And so I want to do an icebreaker right now, okay? So I want you to take anything in your house or around you that is meaningful for you or is precious. We're not going to have time to share it with everyone, but if you can just show it to me on your screen, that'd be amazing. So find something. It could be a mug, it could be, you know, like a doll or anything. So if you can just give me a quick moment, I just want to do an icebreaker and show each other. Everybody look at what's precious to each other. There's some people who are pointing at themselves and saying, oh, I'm so precious. That's good too. I love that. Awesome. We got a pen. Oh, a picture. Oh, grandpa and grandma, that's so cute. Beautiful pen, a book. We have dogs in the house. Awesome. Pictures. Oh, that's so cool. Thank you so much. Oh, the kids. Yay. Oh, a cat. Oh, wow. We got so many. Oh, the glasses, the mugs. Thank you so much. Pictures. I really appreciate it, you know. And I want this to be a interactive sermon, because it's just so, so weird to just be the only one talking right now. But whichever way, thank you so much for that. And the reason why we shared something that is really precious to us is because we are people who love things. You know, we love, love is a big part of our hearts. You know, it's a big part of our life. And today we're going to continue our series, which is where we're sharing the vision of New City Church. And as you all know, we've gone this far. We seek to be an inclusive, gospel-centered community. And today we're doing lovers of Jesus Christ. Lovers of Jesus Christ. So let's take a moment to chat these things. What are some of the things that happen when you love someone? Could you chat it out? Could you just chat it so I could read? What are some of the things that happen when you begin to love someone or you are in a loving relationship? What are some of the things that you do? I'll give you a second to think about it. You want to be with them all the time. You want to get married, of course. Yeah, congratulations, Brandon. Acceptance. You think about their needs. Beautiful. Want to be with that person. Listen well. That's a really good one. You do nice things for them. Yes. Seek their welfare above your own. Beautiful. You care about their needs. You attribute all positive things to them and all negative things to the situation. Put them first. You become more selfless. Delight in their presence. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. You tell everyone about them. Yes. And you see the world through their eyes, physical touch. You know, there's just so many things that are wonderful. When you fall in love, a lot of things happen. And I want to share a little bit of what happened to me. Okay. I'm going to show you a picture. Don't get too scared. This was me and my wife many, many years ago. Wow. Look at that. This is James when he first came to the U.S. And met my wife. We both look very, very different. This is like, I think 12 years ago, 13 years ago. So, okay, now we can move out. Like, yes, let's go. Yes, okay. The reason why I'm showing you this picture is because, you know, like the first time I came to the U.S., I came as when I was 24. And basically I came here because I wanted to study theology and I knew I wanted to be a pastor. But I wasn't that good at Korean. So I was like, you know, I want to go to the U.S. and study theology. And through that, you know, I was looking for a church, and I found this church, and I go to this church, and then I see someone, you know, and this person is just praying. And when they're praying, they're like just like so in love with God, you know, like the way they pray. And I was looking at my wife, Nara, and she was just praying with this heart that was so sincere, right? And she was just saying, God, I just love you, and to be honest, I don't remember what she said. All I remember was that God was looking at her and God was content with her. And there was nothing more beautiful than that. I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. This is a woman who loves God and is loved by God. And I was like, I really, really like her. And then it started. I was like, okay, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to know her. And the first thing that I did was started to look at her and observe what she does and observe how she talks and the things that she likes. And, you know, like my eyes couldn't stop looking at her. And, you know, there were some times where we awkwardly stared at each other. And it was just so weird, but I couldn't stop looking at her, right? That's what happens when you're in love. All you see is that person, like wherever they are, whatever they do, their body language. Like you can go into a room and when you love someone, and this applies not only for the person that you love, but also like your children, you just know where they are. It's just so crazy. It's like there's a radar in you. You just know. And not only that, you want to learn more about that person. And, you know, so what I did is I looked for the right moment and I found a way to get her phone number. And, you know, like I was like, OK, I got her phone number and I asked her for her phone number. And she was like, oh, this is back then I was, you know, a student, you know, but I was studying theology. So she was like, oh, it's a theologian, you know, like I want to actually like, he probably has a lot of wisdom. And so she gave me her number and, you know, I had other intentions. But I called her and we talked and we ended up talking for like 2 hours, I think, our first conversation over the phone. And I just couldn't stop calling her. But all of those moments, and I don't know if you guys remember this story. I preached about it some time ago, and I used to wake up at 5 a.m. The reason is my wife went to morning prayer, and in the Korean culture, there's morning prayer like at 5 or 5:30 a.m. And so she would go to this church, and I was like, I hate waking up early. You know, like one of the reasons why I love being a new city is because we don't have these morning prayers. Waking up at 5 a.m. and praying, it's amazing, but at the same time, it's really hard. So I wasn't going to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I left Korea, too. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to wake up early. But I woke up early. And I would go to her, and I would drive my friend's car, and I didn't have insurance, and he would let me. He's crazy. And I would go there, and I would spend time with her, and it would be so amazing, you know? Like, it wasn't a chore to wake up early and to see her. And I couldn't stop myself. This is what happens when you love someone, right? Like, we all shared. Something special happens. And you are involved with that person. You want to learn more about that person. And there's something so intense about it, because when you love someone, you're fully committed to that person. You're willing to give up your time, your energy, your money, like anything. You try to do everything to make that person happy. And when we say that here in New City Church, we seek to be lovers of Jesus Christ, this is exactly what we mean. We don't want to be just people who know that there's a God and he's amazing. We want to love God and have a loving relationship with him. It's not just about knowing that God is amazing. It's about having this relationship with God, right? And this relationship with God is just so powerful, because if you think about it, the whole Bible talks about our love relationship that we have with God. Like, God created this world, right? And the world was dark, and it was empty, and there was nothing in it. And God came, and he just started creating things with his words, and he just made this beautiful day and night, the nature, the waters, the animals. And you know, when he was doing this, you can see in the progression that there was a plan. It wasn't just that, oh, I just think I want to be creative and make something beautiful. You see that all these things were made very meticulously. It was designed for us. And we know this because when he creates all things, he says it is good and it's good. But when he creates us, he creates us in his image. He was basically saying, everything that is mine is yours. I provide you with everything you might need. You aren't just like any other creation. I made you in my image because you are precious to me. So everything was perfect for us. God thought about every single detail and made this perfect place for us and wanted to have this relationship with us. But you see, what happens, as you all know, is that we rejected God. We turned away from God. And the Bible is the story of God saying, no, I refuse your rejection. And I'm not gonna just let you walk away. And it's, I'm going to restore this broken relationship with you. And if you continue to look and read the Bible, it's this whole story of love, of God's love that is continuously seeking and searching for you. That this love is making ways for us to be connected with God. And you know, so many things happen, and we see how God leads Israel, and how God is with them, and how God's walk with them and leads them. And you, we see this whole progression, because at the end of everything, we come to Jesus, and this amazing miracle happens. Jesus comes to this world. God comes to this world and dies for our sins, so that this relationship can be restored. Right? This whole thing is about a love story that God had for us. He loved us so much. And this is why we worship God. Because we have received this amazing love. See, we worship God not because it's a condition to be a Christian. We worship God because we have received this love. We have experienced this amazing love. And now we respond to this love through worship. Worship is what we do in the loving relationship. And so I want us to think about this for a moment, right? We know that we're loved by God, and we know that Jesus came to save us and died for our sins. And we know that he continuously searched us and looked for us and fought so that this relationship can happen with us. And finally, this God who created the whole universe came to this world, and now we have this ability, this opportunity to have this deep relationship with God. Sorry. And I want us to explore this worship thing. What is worship? What does worship look like? What does our response to God looks like? Now, the word worship, It's, and if you look at in the New Testament, it's translated from the Greek word proskuneo. And this word, it properly means to kiss the ground when laying oneself flat on the ground, face downward, before a superior, to worship, to fall on your knees, to adore one in one knees. Right? This is what worship is. And there's a passage that really explains this whole idea of worship and what worship looks like. There's a powerful moment of worship that we can see. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 38, it says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. This is such a powerful moment. Just think about this for a moment. This woman knew that she was a sinner. This woman knew her sins. And she was suffering because of this, because she knew that she was a sinner. But then she hears that Jesus has come to town. And I don't know how much of a theological background she had. But when everybody else thought that Jesus was just a prophet or maybe a teacher, and when even the disciples didn't get it, didn't get the whole picture of how amazing Jesus was, this woman was the only one who was able to see Jesus for who he was. The moment she saw Jesus for the first time, she just goes straight and she kneels and washes the feet of Jesus with her own tears, because she is in front of the Messiah. She's in front of her Savior. She's in front of somebody who will set her free. When everybody else didn't get it and didn't know about this, she goes there, she kneels down and she starts crying and weeping and say, "Yes, you are the Messiah. I am in front of my Savior." And she breaks this perfume, a jar of alabaster. It is said that this perfume would cost a year's wage. Just think about it. In one moment, she spent all of her year's wages, not only on the head of Jesus, not on her, on the clothes, on the body, on the feet of Jesus. Because she knew that Jesus could save her from her sins. See, this is exactly what we do when we worship. We come and we acknowledge who God is. See, he is the author of this world, the King of Kings, who sits on the throne, who loved us more than we could ever imagine. Like, there are times that we don't grasp how amazing our God is. You know, when we worship, we say, "How great is our God? How great is our God?" But for a moment, imagine this. Isaiah says it in Scripture. He says that that God was sitting on a throne that was so huge and humongous in all his glory. Just think about it. This is God who we're talking about. The God who created this whole world with words. To this God, this woman came and bowed down. To this God, we come as sinners. We come before him shamelessly. And we say, "God, you are my Savior." Look at this next passage in Luke 7, 44 to 47. And it's so beautiful. This is the response that Jesus has after this whole situation. People were, the Pharisees were saying, "Oh, like how can he be a prophet when he doesn't even know what this woman has done?" Like, they were saying, like, who could this guy be Jesus, right? How could he be a prophet if he doesn't even know what this woman, the sins of this woman? And this is what he says. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. So you did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." You can see here very clearly, Jesus is moved by this woman. When everybody else was just sitting casually around Jesus, and probably the Pharisees wanted to have this conversation that was like just theological and talking about what heaven would look like. I don't know. They were like talking to Jesus as he was in the same level or something like that, or maybe he was a smarter person, but it wasn't like this. See, Jesus saw this actions of this woman who was a sinner, but this action of her weeping and crying before the feet of Jesus. But these probably were tears of joy because she had met her Savior. She knew exactly that Jesus was more than just a prophet. He was the Savior of all things. He would come and die in the cross for me, for my sins. And now I'm saved. I finally met God in front of me, and I kneel down and wash the feet of Jesus. See, Jesus was moved by her actions, by her worship that she gave. Worship is this, exactly this. It's knowing that you are a sinner, that you are broken, that you were in darkness. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that a wretch like me has been saved, right? That's what worship is being able to come shamelessly before God and saying, God, I am a sinner, but you have saved me. I am dirty, but you have cleansed me. You are the one who has completely saved me. This is such a beautiful thing. And it's an action of love. It's a response to this loving relationship we have with God. Let me show you a picture. Can we show the picture? Yes, thank you. So this amazing piece of art is of my son's, you know? And you can see the hair, the person. Well, they don't seem to be fully developed. Maybe no hands or feet or anything. But what he wrote in Korean is 엄마 사랑해, which is Mom, I love you. And then he wrote 아빠, and there's supposed to be one more like character right there, but he just did, you know, he forgot it. But he wrote 사랑해, I love you, right? And that was it. And then he's drawing things that look like people. And this is some time ago. But through this drawing, you know, for other people, they're probably going to be like, oh, yeah, that's cute. They're probably going to be like, oh, yeah, that's cute. But for me, this picture, I wouldn't change this picture with for anything. You could bring me gold or all these things. I would not like to lose this picture because it's an expression of my son's love that he has for me. And even though it's just so little, it's just, you know, he just took a small piece of paper, and he just started like drawing things, and he just gave it to me. For me, this whole little thing that he did was so powerful. It was so amazing. I was like, oh man, he loves me too. I love him so much. I love my son so very much. But the thing is, there are times that I also love to receive love from him. And there are times when I come home and, you know, life has been hard. But then he just goes, Daddy! And, you know, it's like, he shows up. It means so much. Because it's a relationship. It is not just a one-way thing. He expressed his love. That's what worship is. When you worship, you're doing this drawing, even though it's a small, tiny thing. And even though for that woman, all she could do is break this perfume for Jesus. I mean, the creator of the whole universe, the God Almighty, he was moved by that. He is moved by your worship. Your expression of love that you say to Jesus, he is moved by those things. So worship, we give to God. It means a lot. So worship like this woman. God receives your expression of love that you show through worship. You know, another thing about worship that is so powerful is that worship gives us hope. And so there is this story on Acts 16, verse 22 to 28, and we're going to go to that verse again. And we're going to read it. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone in chain became loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Now, for a moment, put yourselves in Paul's shoes, right? He was doing God's work. He was continuing to do the ministry that God had told him to do, and so he continued to do that. But then there was this woman when he arrested this town, this woman who told the future to others. And she was a slave to an owner, but people would pay her money because she was possessed. And she would tell the future to other people, and she would make money, and with that money, you know, she would give it to her her owners. And now this woman keeps on following around Paul and Silas, and she keeps on saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved," which was a truth, right? But it was this woman shouting these things over and over and over again. And the Bible is actually really funny. It says that Paul was annoyed. Paul got annoyed and cast away the spirit. But when that happened, a huge problem happened, because when that happened, the owners of the slaves, were really angry, because she was making a lot of money for them, and now she doesn't have this power, you know? And so they were really, really angry, and that's why they put them in jail. But the thing is, they didn't put them in jail, they made a reason, and they were basically saying, "These people are turning to cause an uprising in our town, so put them in jail." And so they got beaten and flogged and thrown into prison. For a moment, just think about it. I'm doing God's work. If I'm Paul and Silas, I'm doing God's work, and I'm just doing all these things for God. And then suddenly I get accused for this thing that I haven't done. And then I get beaten and flogged, and Paul and Silas were bloodied. And then they were not only thrown into jail, they were told to be carefully kept attention, so that they knew exactly where they were. And then not only that, it says that they fastened their feet in the stocks. And so they really, really treated them horrible. Now, in this moment, in the midst of this situation, in the midst of being bloodied and bruised, they began to pray and worship. Like, think about the people who are around, who saw Paul and Silas come in, who saw how they were treated, who saw that they were bleeding and they were hurt. And these people who are hurt are praising God and saying how amazing our God is. And they kept on saying God is good. And they sang of the promises that were to come. They probably were singing all these beautiful songs, and people are like, "You're crazy. Like, how can you be worshiping right now?" You see, the prayers and songs that they sang were the things that helped them fix their eyes on God, on the promises and the goodness of God. The others just didn't understand what was happening, but for them, they were centering themselves in God over and over again. And even though the situation wasn't easy, even though the situation wasn't good, they never lost hope. Worship was the thing that held them together, because they were worshiping and praying and saying the words of hope, the promises of hope, the good news that Jesus had come to this world to die for all of our sins and we were set free. The promises that God made, that there will be a day when there will be no more suffering, that there will be no more death, there will be no more evil, and everything will be set right. They were singing about these things, and worship did that for them, and it does for us too. Worship centers us in hope of God. This is so beautiful, because if you think about it, we right now can worship God in moments of suffering and hardships. Like right now, you look around your life and you look around the world and you see so many people who are suffering. You see death happening left and right. It is not easy to continue to have faith in God and hope in God when there's so many things happening in your life that seem to say, no, there's no hope. See, one of the saddest things that can happen to you is to start believing in these things, that there is no hope, that there is no good, that it's not fair, that the world is not under the control of God. That's not true. These are the moments you need to worship. These are the moments you need to say, yes, Lord, I believe in you. I believe in the truth that you have already won over sin, that you died on the cross and we became free from all bondage. In a way, it's like we're living in this board game, you know? And this board game is difficult. It's not an easy board game. There's so many steps and things and challenges that you have to go through, and it's really, really hard and difficult. But the reality is that this board game has already an ending that is already done. God is already victorious. When he died on the cross and set us free from all our sins, the ending has already been revealed to us. The reality is that we still live in this game, in this board game, which is really tough and difficult, but we can fix our eyes to the ending, and we can say and continue to say that there is hope indeed. I want us to take a moment to really experience what this hope means. I'm gonna play you a song, and I'm not gonna explain it yet, but I want you to hear this song out, and for a moment, just reflect on this song and really focus on the lyrics, okay? I want you to listen to this worship. Joel, I just need to share this screen. Thank you.
Oh!
This is such a beautiful song. This was Martin Luther King Jr.'s favorite song. It's a hymn called Take My Hand, Precious Lord. Mahalia Jackson performed this song beautifully, and she was a renowned gospel singer. And she also was part of the movement. She would join Dr. King at the demonstrations, and she would sing this song before people. It meant to inspire the civil rights activists and followers as they journeyed forward in their fight. And also, do you know that, fun fact, Mahalia Jackson was one of the people who ignited the great speech, I Have a Dream. It's actually really cool. So she went up and she sang a beautiful song. I think she sang this song when they were in Washington. And she knew Dr. King, like, personally, right? She had these conversations with him. And actually, Dr. King and his team were, like, wondering, like, what is the right message? Should we go churchy? You know, should we go, like, a sermon, an actual Sunday church sermon? Or should we go on the other side and talk about some other stuff? And they were, like, going back and forth. And there was this draft that was taken, and it wasn't concluded. And Dr. King, like, he was looking at the scripts, and he was like, I don't know, like, he just took one. And then, you know, he was in his room and stuff. And Mahalia Jackson came out, and she sang this amazing song, and everybody started to be so moved and everything. It was such a beautiful moment. And then he goes up, and he has a script in front of him, and he reads the first part of the script, and then Mahalia Jackson goes, and she was not too far away from Dr. King, and she goes, "Hey, Dr. King, talk about the dream," right? And that's when Dr. King, he just took the paper and was like, psh, he put it to the side, and he didn't read any of those words that were written. And he just talked about the dream, the I Have a Dream speech, full of hope, a beautiful speech. And that's how that whole speech came about. But anyway, that was just a fun fact. That and Mahalia Jackson and Dr. King were very close, and she helped not only by coming and singing, but she also financially helped the movement to the civil rights. And in 1968, on April 4th, 1968, before Dr. King was assassinated, his last words were, "Take my hand, precious Lord, beautifully," right? And after that, the assassination happened. But there's a reason why this song was Dr. King's favorite song. Like, look at the lyrics for a second. Like, let me show you the lyrics. It says, Joel, could we show the picture, the lyrics, please? It says, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I'm alone. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows dear, precious Lord, linger near. When my light is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet. Hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on." This is such a beautiful, beautiful song that is full of hope, but it's also full of the reality that we're facing. And when Dr. King had this song sang in rallies, nothing had happened. The truth was that a lot of people were discriminated. A lot of black people weren't treated as the same human beings like any other person. They were discriminated against. But in those moments, they continue to worship. And they continue to sing this song. Guide my feet. Hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. So this is what worship does. Beloved, we experience hope. God fills us with the truth that centers us. God is on our side. He loves us and has done everything possible for us to be with us. We are His children who are loved. And there is nothing that can ever separate us from this amazing love. So we continue to walk forward in hope, and we continue to worship in hope, and continue to put our hope in the Lord and live this world as lovers of Jesus Christ. So that's one of the things that worship does. It's so powerful. Now, I want to wrap up my sermon by really looking into what it means for us to be lovers of Jesus Christ, right? We talked about worship, and we talked about how worship is a response about this love, but we want to become lovers of Jesus Christ, right? Being a lover to someone means that you and that person have a special relationship with each other. And a relationship doesn't just happen in the moment. A relationship is not just something, okay, I like you, you like me, good. Oh yeah, we're good. No, it doesn't happen like that. It takes time. It's intentional. There needs to be an intentional time spent to get to know that person, to know what the person likes, to know what the person is like. And that's what we do when we read scripture. We're building this relationship with God. There's a depth of God that you can't just grasp when you just hear that God loves you and He died for your sins. There's so much more into that. And there's this depth that when you love someone, you want to know more about that person. You're excited to go in and go deep to know every single thing about that person, how that person thinks, how that person and is, who that person is. And, you know, there's so many details that the Bible talks about who God is. It gives you a better understanding of God. And this is why it's important for us to really have this heart to dive into the scripture, read the Bible, and really spend time reading who God is. Because, you know, it's easy for us sometimes to have this distorted view of God. And there's so many people out there who have this distorted view of God because they don't get it, who God is. That's why we need to study. That's why we need to be part of these groups where we go in deeper. Like, there's so many things that we can do. Pastor Daniel is going to start this course called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. We're going to offer this for all of us, but this is going to be a moment for us to spend this time with God, learning more about Him and learning who He is and building this relationship with Him. That's what a relationship is. You being a lover of Jesus Christ, this means I'm willing to be in this relationship, and I'm going to dive deeper to get to know more about who you are. And I'm hoping you all join this group, because it's going to be really good. We're going to have a time that we're purposely going to spend reading and learning and growing in God. And so that's such an important thing. It's a relationship that you have to invest time in it to get to know who God is. This is part of being a worshiper. This is part of being a lover of Jesus Christ, because when you love someone, you're wanting to learn more about that person. Also, another huge part of this is commitment. You see, in our relationship, and when you really love someone, you are committed to that person. Now, what this means is that when you're committed to this person, you're saying, I will do everything I can to be faithful to you because I love you. Even though the situations might be difficult, even though my reality may be hard, and even though there are some times that I just want to leave you, I won't. Like when things get too frustrated, you know, we sometimes shut down. But when we tell that we are lovers of Jesus Christ, or at least we seek to be lovers of Jesus Christ, it means that I will commit to you whether I feel like it or not. It means I will be present. Even in my worst situations, I won't run away from you. I will run towards you. See, I will be committed to you, and I will commit to spend the time that is necessary to be with you. Sundays, I will try my best to be there to worship you. I will be faithful to you because I am committed to you. That's a huge part of what it means to be a lover of Jesus Christ, right? Sometimes we think the word, oh, we're worshipers, but it doesn't really resonate well. So that's why I love how New City puts it. We're not just worshipers. We're lovers of Jesus Christ who are willing to spend time, quality of time in prayer and worship, and also who are committed to Jesus. And lastly, a loving relationship is willing to listen and receive. Y'all, I gotta be honest. I am really, really bad at listening sometimes. One of the things that my wife always tells me is like, no, you, like, I need you to hear me. Like, listen to me. Stop trying to make the situation better. Stop trying to somehow say something that's gonna make me feel better. I need you to listen to me. See, that's key in a relationship, and I haven't done that very well. And because of that, I've hurt my wife in so many ways. But we cannot do that with God. See, God is speaking to us so much. He speaks to us through scripture, through worship, through others. If you are in a relationship, in a loving relationship with Jesus, you sometimes need to, excuse my language, shut up. You know, sometimes when you pray, just keep on yapping and yapping and yapping and saying things and like, yeah, you know, it's like that's prayer too. You know, sometimes you just need to be quiet and listen to what God is saying to you, because God is speaking to you through worship, through his words, through scripture, through Lectio Divina. It's something that I love, something that we do at New City all the time. But it's the time when we are just quiet and we just focus on the things, on the word, on the scripture that God is saying. Those words are the words that we need to listen. We need to hear who God is, because in a loving relationship, you're willing to listen and receive. These are just some of the ways you can be lovers of Jesus Christ. Y'all, this is something that I was thinking about and I was preparing, but there's so many more ways. And when it says lovers of Jesus Christ, it means that I am a lover, but you are a lover too. And not only what I'm saying is right, but you know your relationship with Christ, and you know what you need to have this deep relationship with Christ. Well, I want us to be thinking about that today. As I conclude my sermon, I want to ask you a question. What does it mean to you to be a lover of Jesus Christ? How are you going to respond to this loving relationship? How are you going to worship? Beloved, I want us to take a moment to think about this. And as we sing the last song, I want us to spend some time thinking about what it means to be a lover of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this love that you have for us, God. We truly know, Father, that you are an amazing God who created the universe. But when you did so, you thought about us, God. You created everything with a purpose. And you created us in your image. And you told us to care, but also enjoy in this creation that you have made. That's how much you love us. And even when we rejected you, Lord, you continue to seek for us. You continue to fight for our relationship, God. And you gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can have this amazing relationship with you, those of us who have experienced the gospel. What a joy there is in knowing that we are saved. But Lord, we don't want to stop there and just receive from you, God. We want to be worshipers. We want to be lovers of Jesus Christ and give you worship, Lord. Because worship, Father, we know that it gives us hope. Worship centers us. Worship makes us able to say and know who you are. So God, I pray that everybody here might be able to really look into themselves and find the ways that they can worship God. If it's studying the scripture and learning more about you, God. If it's spending more time with you, God. There's so many ways we can be lovers of Jesus Christ. Let us not forget that it's a relationship that we need to foster. It takes time, but it's a relationship that is more precious than anything else. So God, let us be lovers of Jesus Christ and help us so that we can grow deeper in the love that we have for you and you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.